We've been in the middle of a series, kind of a long series. We've taken a lot of just turns here and there. We're talking about how do you reach your full potential? How do you reach your full potential as a Christian? How do you reach your full potential as a person? How do you live this life to the fullness that God wants us to live it to? And we gave an acronym, and the acronym is how to reach, is the reach was relationships, evangelism, A, accountability, C, calling, H, Holy Spirit. And then we kind of digressed a little bit here on the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is amazing. Because the Holy Spirit is your advantage. When you say, I feel like the deck is stacked against me, remember the Holy Spirit stacks the deck against everybody else. You got to realize the Holy Spirit is your advantage. He says, hey, it's to your advantage that I go away because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew this advantage would transform and empower us to walk the walk he's called us to in our life today. Last week we talked about we're to walk in the Holy Spirit. We're walking the Spirit and not the flesh. We talked about how our flesh is drawn or attracted to sin. We talked about how, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. We learned that the flesh is weak and that the flesh and the Spirit are contrary to one another. And that the flesh does not surrender easily. It goes kicking and screaming. If you're going to try to get rid of some fleshly things in your life, can you give me that here? A little donut here. Anybody's birthday today? Nobody's? Somebody in the world's birthday today, so we'll... All right, I'm going to light these. Hopefully I can light them. I'm not doing very well. I need help. Okay, just a second. I think it's going. There it goes. There it goes. Probably should have pre-lit these. Note to self. Don't act like an idiot in front of the people. Now the flesh, I put a donut on the flesh here. The flesh it goes kicking and screaming, right? So when you want to get rid of the flesh, right? And you're saying, by gosh, they're persistent. And we try to get rid of them. Watch, they're probably all going to be gone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it only takes... You were successful. Oh! That little guy, man. I got a lot of things under control, but there's this one thing that just kind of keeps bugging me. There's always one thing, you know. Hey, I got all those. Those went out easily. These guys went easy. This guy doesn't go easy. So what are we supposed to do with the flesh? From last week, remember? There we go. We're supposed to crucify the flesh. We keep playing with it and blowing it out. But instead of just doing that, he's asking us, oh my gosh. I keep repenting. He keeps coming back. I keep going. I keep walking in the flesh. You need to just crucify it. Ouch. The point I'm trying to make is this. The flesh does not give up easily. And when you think you have it under control, you think, I'm good now. I don't need to worry about it anymore. Don't need to take any more precautions. I'm good. All of a sudden it will raise its head up and smite you again. You need to understand it's not your friend. It will not go easy. When you think it's gone, it will come back. You need to crucify it and make sure it's dead and stays dead. I kind of think about the flesh, and I was yesterday, because of this whole aspect of the prayer and fasting for our nation, started fasting yesterday, so I was fasting Saturday, and as I was in my office, there was a tray of these little donuts. You know the little ones that don't have any calories? Those big ones have a lot of calories, and the little ones... They don't have any calories because they're so small. And so they're just kind of sitting on the desk. I think Tom had a thing going on. And so there was some stuff there. And so I come out and I see those. And it looks like, hey, these are free for use. And so I undo the thing and literally put it in my mouth. And I didn't swallow. But as soon as I got it in my mouth, I tasted it. I went, wow, that tastes. What am I doing? And I go over to the trash can. And I spit it all out. Got everything out. Just so you know, I washed my mouth out, did not swallow it. I got it out too. Okay. What I want to say, though, is this. The flesh automatically did that. The flesh said, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten. I want that. And I just went along with them. I want it too, man. And so we just not realizing, wait a second. Right now you're supposed to be walking by the Spirit, right? The Spirit says no food, flesh, you don't get any. And so it's a great discipline, honestly. Fasting is a good thing to incorporate in your life every now and then because it tells the flesh, no. But the flesh is really smart. He gets us when we're not thinking. And all of a sudden, I ate that thing, and before I swallowed, I realized, I finally came to my senses and spit it out. But I'm saying, it's exactly how the flesh moves. We think we have it under control. We think it's all okay. He's really smart. He's really, the enemy empowers it to all of a sudden we do things that we wish we wouldn't have done. I'm saying this, stay vigilant against the flesh. The Bible talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world and the world system that's against God. The flesh that's not, that part of us that's really not saved. It's listening to these wrong things, this aspect. It's in the process of being sanctified, but it's not there yet. And then the devil, that he's involved in all of that. I'm just saying, stay vigilant. You're going to blow it out. You think it's done. Boom, it comes back. You think everything's okay. I'm walking really great. All of a sudden, boom, you pop something in your mouth. You shouldn't have put there. You pop something into your eye. You shouldn't have put there. You pop something into your body. You shouldn't have put there. We need to stay vigilant. 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 You know, last week we talked about Galatians 5 about the flesh. And I read Romans 8 that Sunday after the service. And I go, oh my gosh. I should have used this too, so please indulge me for a little bit as we talk a little bit more about this spirit-flesh issue, because it's all the way through the Scripture. It's a huge concept. It's a huge thing in our life. I know a lot of times we get defeated by, we do something we wish we wouldn't have done, and why did I do that? The flesh. And it starts to kind of ruin us some. So let me, if you would, I'm going to start here, and then we're going to get into the gifts. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. As we're endeavoring to walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. We miss up. We may make some mistakes and all of that, but he says there's no condemnation, but there's plenty of conviction. The enemy loves to condemn you, to get you to quit. God always convicts to get you to keep going, to keep moving, to perfect where you are, to grow in who you are as a spiritual man or a spiritual woman of God. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. So we got a clue here. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you have to set your mind towards spiritual things. Because if you just let it go like it goes, it's going to start eating things it shouldn't be eating. It's going to do things you just didn't set it. I didn't set my mind. Afterwards, I set it. And then when I went home, I had it set because I went by where I normally grab those cashews. I didn't eat them because I had my mind set. And all of a sudden, walking around the place, you know, all my little stash spots, I had to stay away from. Set your mind. Set it. Set it on the things of the Spirit of God. When I think about set it, set your mind, it means to exercise the mind, to entertain, be mentally disposed, interest oneself in. The other lexicon says to keep on going, serious consideration to something. To set your mind means to ponder, to let one's mind dwell on, to keep thinking on, to fix one's attention on, to keep on keeping on. You can't quit. You can't rest. You can't let go of the rope or all of a sudden it's going to go and get pulled in the wrong direction. You need to stay vigilant. You need to stay active. You need to stay in the Spirit. Because if we let down, the flesh will grab hold. I think about, you know, setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. It takes thought. It takes energy. It takes planning. You have to think it through. It's like, you know, you had to think through that you had to reset your alarm clock, right? How many people got up earlier than they should have? A few? Okay. Well, I mean, because of the time change. You forgot the time change? You know, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, it's actually later than what it is right now, but I didn't set it. I have to set it. We have to set something. It takes energy. It takes effort. You know, we have to set a crock pot if you want it to be nice when you come home and that nice smell. Have you ever come home thinking you have the meat in the crock pot and you come home and you don't smell that nice aroma and realize you forgot to set the crock pot? Or for you, coffee people. To get up in the morning and not smell those roasted beans being percolated because you didn't set the timer. You ever had mice in your house? If you don't, these are big mice where we live. These are big, big old mice. I want to make sure I get them. But I'll tell you what, if you put this mouse trap, whew, hallelujah. If you put this mouse trap with some cheese on it and put it in there like that, how many mice are you going to catch? None. You have to think consciously about setting it to catch flesh. Mice. I don't want to touch that right there. Does anybody think they're faster than the trap? Oh, no, no, never mind. If we don't set your mind on the Spirit, you're going to find that flesh is going to be walking all over the stuff that you wished it wouldn't have walked on. And doing things all over your stuff and leaving little deposits behind. How many people love going through the drawer and finding all the deposits and all the junk in there? Do you like that? Nobody likes that. You know why it did that? You didn't set it. You didn't set it. You didn't set it. We need to set our mind on the things of the Spirit or the flesh is going to creep in. All right? I'm not going to do it. All right. Hallelujah. Set it. Make sure you set it. It's going to take some energy. It's going to take some effort. All right? Continuing on in this scripture in Romans 8. For to be carnally a flesh minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, that word carnal is the same word as flesh. It's the word sarx. Sarx is used as flesh. It's also used as this word carnal. So he's saying, because the carnal mind, the flesh, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. It's enmity against God. The word enmity here is hostility, opposition, hatred, being an enemy of. It's an enemy. So you have to realize that your flesh is not just an enemy of the Spirit of God inside of you. It's a direct enemy of God Himself. Now, that's an interesting thought. Now, again, understand, God's redeeming us. He loves us and all that. And He's trying to deal and sanctify this aspect. But our flesh isn't friends. Amen. Our flesh isn't friendly. Now, we think, oh, I did nice. You know, I'm talking about the ugliness of the flesh. The things that do despicable things that we wish we never would have done. I'm talking about that flesh, right? I'm talking about the flesh that said, I would never do that. And all of a sudden, bam, we're at it. This flesh is enmity against God. This flesh is saying, I hate you, God. It's putting us at odds with each other. Your flesh is not just against the Spirit in your life, but the flesh is against God. To walk in the flesh is to go against God. Continuing on here. So then those who are in the flesh, say with me, cannot please God. He's trying to give us some understanding that the flesh is not a good place. Now understand, as I'm talking all about the flesh, He gives us a lot of grace and He's going to give us power and He's going to give us gifts to help walk into the Spirit, right? So I want you to understand, as I'm trying to paint this bad picture of it, but thankfully that God, who loves us in our sin, has given us gifts to help us walk out of that sin and to walk in the Spirit and all of a sudden walk with a whole new path, a whole new reality. But we have to do something. You can't please God while you're walking in the flesh. Continuing on, but But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that word dwells means to occupy a house, to reside, to inhabit, to remain. It's not just visit there, but you, the Spirit lives there. It's not just a visitor. If anything, the flesh needs to be the visitor. If he ever gets there, you take all of his stuff and you put it out on the porch. Just throw it away. Don't even put it on the porch. Take all of his junk and just don't even put it in your garbage. Take it to the dump and actually dump it at the dump. Get it completely out of your house. Galatians, and let me just say this scripture quickly and we'll get into our topic today. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, whatever seeds he plants, that also he will reap. You can't plant weeds and expect to harvest wheat. Whatever you're sowing is what you're going to reap. Normally they use this as a scripture for giving. Hey, give and it'll be given back to you. You know, if you want to get a good harvest back, you need to plant seed. I want to use this as the aspect of the flesh because it says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And that word corruption is ruin. It will ruin you. Do you understand? If you keep sowing to the flesh, if you keep sowing to the flesh, doing the things that the flesh wants to do, the things that are against God, the things that don't please God, the things that you don't really want to do anyway, but if you keep doing those, that all of a sudden it is going to ruin you. I have seen many, many people ruined in their life by all that they did. I wonder, why did I get to this point? Because all you did was sow into the flesh, and if you sow into the flesh, you're going to reap it there. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. This is important here. I have a friend who always, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing this. I'm giving that. And I tithe there. And I did this. And all of that. I did those things. And it just doesn't seem a bad thing happened or a tough thing went. What's going on? God's just growing you. Adversity will grow you. But it says this. Don't grow weary while doing good. Don't give up. I don't see the results. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. He's asking you to be perseverant. Lord, it seems like, but why aren't you? Oh, the harvest is bigger than you think. Keep going. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. It's coming. I guarantee you it's coming. If you're sowing to the Spirit and are wondering, God, why aren't you answering quicker? Why aren't you doing more? Understand this, that God hears you. He knows you. And he's working inside of you something that's wonderful and awesome. And you will reap things that will be beyond your imagination as you continue to move forward and believe God. All right. Our scripture for today, since we're 20 minutes in. It was introduction. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. What else does he do? The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts. I know it's a little late in the service, but would you please stand up? We're going to read our introductory. I can see this right now. Kids are going, Mom, I went to this church. It was 18 minutes on the introduction. 1 Corinthians 12:1-7. Say it with me. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I love this stuff. Sit down, please. I'm sorry. I meant it as a, please sit down, not sit down. Sound a little funny there, I'm sorry. Shut up. Thought I was back to parenting again, so I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts. Who doesn't like gifts? Is there anybody here who doesn't like gifts? Is there anybody, do we have people here whose love language, you know your love language is gifts? You know your love language is gifts? So are you thinking about it? Is your love language gift? You're right here. I'm sorry, you raise your hand. Is it gift? You like gifts? Were you in Carpenter series? Were you the one that took the candy bar? Oh, well, I have this gift for you. I challenged them. We talked about evangelism and how to share your faith. And I gave two big candy bars to two people who would be willing to share their faith this week. And what was your first name again? Catherine said she would. She raised her hand. And I said, awesome, man. So I'm going to give you a gift. It's going to help you. This gift, you know, God gives us gift to help us do the ministry he's called us to do. So he's given you that gift. What do you do when you get a gift? Think about it. Shake it. See if you can. Nothing there. Now, here's what most. Now, when you get a gift, right, you take it home and you get excited and you put it on the shelf and you just watch and you look at it for the next 50 years of your life, right? Is that what you do? You put it on the shelf and it just gets dust. And you go, oh, I got this gift, though. Love this gift. I don't know what it is, but I just love it. It's given to me by someone special. What an awesome gift. When you get a gift, if someone were to give you a gift, would you do that? Would you just put it on your counter and just leave it there for the rest of your life? Wouldn't you want to know what's in there? If it's a gift, he must have wanted to give you something special, right? What happens when someone gives you a gift? What do? Rip it open. Please don't save the paper. Just rip it. Rip it. Rip it. Rip it, Catherine. Rip it. Rip it. Rip it. Rip it. Oh, it's just a... Open it up. What it's in? Just open it. What's in there? $20. Whoa. Does anybody else want a gift? Oh, yeah. At the first, nobody, I don't want a gift. No, I don't need a gift. I want a gift. $20? I want a gift. I thought it was just going to be air inside. The error was that we didn't take the gift. I want to talk to you these next 2 weeks about gifts of the Holy Spirit. He has gifts that he wants to give us, and most of them, put them on a shelf and leave them there and don't open up and discover what they are. Some because of ignorance, some because I just, oh no, I'm worried. Holy Spirit scares me, all of that. Hey, the amazing thing to me is that most people, when they think about the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Spirit and God doing stuff, they go, oh no, they don't want it too spooky. But when they die, they hope that God pulls them out of that, out of the dirt and puts them into heaven, right? Don't we all? I don't care how he does it. Do it miraculously. Do whatever, Lord. We don't care then. But why do we care now that it has to be and figure out with our explanation? Wow. Then we want him to do whatever. I don't care. I'm dead. I want to be alive again. You know what? As Christians, we're dead if we're not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. We're walking as those who aren't fully capable to do the task that he's given you to do. So Catherine, take that, whoever you're thinking about, take him out to lunch or something and share the gospel. I just thought it was really bold of her. And by the way, I'm just thankful for all those who are in our programs up there. Remember, the Holy Spirit is your advantage. The gifts are given to give you more advantage. Do you want an advantage to walk this life? Do you really want an advantage to walk this life? Then we need to open up the packages that God is sending our way instead of, I don't get it. I don't get it. Let me read on. Let's kind of dissect what this first part is here. Starting at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, it's interesting that the word gifts is implied. It's actually italicized, meaning it wasn't in the original language because it was kind of called the spirituals. Concerning the spirituals. The word spiritual here is the word pneumaticos. It means, it comes from pneuma, the spirit, means non-carnal, a spirit, a supernatural. Is these supernatural things, concerning the supernatural, concerning these things that are supernatural, that don't make sense to a natural mind, Because see, if we're walking in the flesh with our natural mind, we're not going to understand the things of the spirit that take a spiritual mind, a mindset to understand. And God's trying to get us to quit walking in the flesh where we got to understand and figure it all out, to walking in the spirit where we begin to trust a living God who wants to do some amazing and mighty and miraculous things in your life. So concerning these spirituals, or we'll call them spiritual gifts, because that's how it tried to make sense to everybody. These spiritual gifts. Brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Paul doesn't want people to be ignorant of the Holy Spirit and the gifts the Holy Spirit brings. Please hear that today. God doesn't want us ignorant of the spirituals. God doesn't want us ignorant of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us ignorant of the supernatural. I'm talking about the godly supernatural. I'm not talking about the wickedness. He doesn't want us ignorant. That word ignorant, it means not to know through lack of information or intelligence. To, say this word with me, to ignore. He doesn't want you to ignore the Holy Spirit and His gifts. To ignore through disinclination. I looked up the word disinclination. The word disinclination means a reluctance or lack of enthusiasm. Oh, I don't need it. A hesitation. An unwillingness. A feeling of not wanting to do something. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to accept that. I don't want to open that. I don't want to Not interested. Not interested. I really want to get into these scriptures because I think it's really important, because what Paul is saying is we've got Christians who are ignoring what God wants to do in the spirit. God doesn't want you to be reluctant in the gifts. God doesn't expect you to understand it all. He's looking for our willingness to move in the gifts and to trust Him. You see, to move into something you don't understand takes faith, takes trust, which are exactly the characteristics that God is trying to put inside of you. That you trust Him, that you believe in Him, that you turn to Him. Though even though you don't understand it, you are connected so tight, you know He'll work it out. You're just there with Him. He's drawing you into something deeper. He's drawing you into the trust relationship. He's drawing you into this empowerment that will allow you to walk with a different sense of caliber, a different sense of authority, a different sense of presence in the life today. His Holy Spirit is what gives us that. Walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. Some people ignore them because they don't understand them. But you don't understand them because you ignore them. I ignore them because I don't understand them. You don't understand them because you ignore them. Hey, I need to dig, study, search, find out. We need to be well equipped to fight the battle. But let me say this also, and hear this. You are not some sort of second class Christian if you're not walking in the fullness of all of the gifts there. Maybe you're just kind of new and you don't even know anything about the gifts. I'm not saying you're second class. Also hear this. It doesn't mean that you're a first class Christian just because God's given you a couple of gifts and you can wield the gun and you can fire and you can do everything. It doesn't mean that you're some hotshot, because if that's the way you're operating it, then you missed it anyway. The idea wasn't to go, oh, we're going to put a caliber here and we're going to get arrogant people because they have the gifts, and we're going to get people who have self-esteem problems because they don't. No. It's not this divine. He's saying, I have this for you. I have this for you. Would you open it? Paul is saying he does not want Christians to be ignorant or to ignore spiritual gifts. But there is somebody who really wants you to ignore spiritual gifts and the power they give you. Can you think of who that might be? Somebody said my mother-in-law. No, not that. The devil. The devil wants you ignorant. The devil wants you walking in the flesh. The devil wants you going, do you really understand? You don't get it. Don't. Hey, it's not for you. Just forget it. Just hold back. You're okay. You'll get through life. You'll get married. You'll have kids. You'll. They don't need it. The devil's really good about trying to keep you handicapped from all that the Lord wants to give you. And we fall into that trap. Oh, no, no, yeah, do you know who's giving you those thoughts and feelings? It's not the Holy Spirit. That's the flesh talking. God wants us to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to get into the gifts today, but I want to set it up here, and we'll talk next week about these first nine spiritual gifts. But let me give you some under. So let's look at verse 4. We just read it. There are diversities. The word diversity is a distinction or a variety. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. The word gift here is the word gratitude. Actually, the word is charisma. It's where we get the word charismatic from. Gifts, believe in the gifts. But it means gratitude, a spiritual endowment, a free gift to grant as favor. And I want to talk now, there's going to be three different distinctions we're going to get here. Remember, we read three different distinctions. And there are three aspects of these spirituals that God is giving to us. Giving to us individually, but also corporately for the body of Christ. So let's look at these. The first branch here, the first one is the gifts, the charisma. These nine gifts I'll talk about next week. But their gifts are spiritual endowments. Spiritual endowments, because it means gratuity. A spiritual endowment is what the word means. So gifts are a spiritual endowments to enable us to move supernaturally to minister to people. One of the main reasons why God gives us gifts is so we can help other people. So you can be helped, but also so you can be a helping to somebody else. He didn't give it to you just selfishly, although we need individual gifts to help us in our walk and daily walk. But he gave them to you so you could give them away and we could help other people. So the body of Christ could grow. So we could be helping one another, encouraging one another, lifting up one another. So they're supernatural to minister to people. Here's the second branch. We're going to have three branches of the spirituals, of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's giving three different sets of things right here in the Scripture. First ones were those nine gifts of the Spirit. Now he's going to talk about something different here. In verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. These differences of ministries are the second branch here. And the word here in Strong's is diakonia, which we get the word diakonos or servant from. It's an attendant as a servant. It also comes from a word that means to run on errands, an attendant, a waiter. The second branch that the Holy Spirit is giving, these nine spiritual gifts, and then these ministries that he's giving, let me say this. Ministries are servants that serve the body of Christ like Christ did. These gifts that the Holy Spirit also is giving, are gifts like the apostle, the evangelist, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, leaders, exhorters, administrators. These people who have giftings that are supernatural, not just a natural talent. God uses talents for sure. He's given you talents, but he does something supernatural. It's not just your innate ability, but God gives you something that comes on over you. I can tell you that when I became the lead pastor here at Living Faith Fellowship, I wasn't really looking forward to doing that. It kind of hit me by surprise. With that came a great fear. I have to lead all these people. I don't know how to do that. I don't know if I will be good at it or not. But what happened as a pastor, God gave me a gift. Amen. a gift. Maybe it's not the best, you know, I mean, I got a lot of work on it, okay? I got a lot of more things to open up, but he gave me a gift to love people. He gave me a gift to love kids. He gave me a gift to love the older ones. He gave me a gift to love everybody. He gave me a gift to care. He gave me a gift to want to talk to you, to want to greet you after the service and go out to lunch with you and find out what's going on in your life and talk to you and help you and connect you. And he gave that to me as a gift. You'd find out when I first came, I was a really shy person, very, 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 very shy. I mean, I sat in the very back, and as soon as it was over, I just wanted to leave. But my wife, who wasn't my wife then, she was 14. Were you 14? She was 14 years old, comes back to me and starts talking to me and wouldn't let me leave. But over the course of time, what's that? Good woman. Over the course of time, all of a sudden I was staying. I said, hey, you're a pretty good talker. Do you want to get married? So and then gave me someone who also had amazing gifts. So we could help people grow. Help people come to know Christ, see how awesome he is, and then grow in understanding that he's got more, that there's more. And then a lot of them have left out of here and they've gone into churches where they've really helped other pastors across the world. I'm saying that I didn't have that. God gave that to me as a gift to the body of Christ. He gifts us. The second branch are these gifts that are people, fivefold ministry, but also administrators and exhorters, just people who are gifted in the body of Christ to help others. Now we come to the third branch he's going to talk about, this third aspect. There are diversities or a variety, remember that word diversities. There are diversities or variety of activities. But the same God who works all in all. This third branch of these gifts, of these spirituals that the Lord gives us. The first one, spiritual gifts. The second one were these people, these administrations, these ministers. The third one is this activities. The word activities is the word energema. It means to be active, efficient, to help. You see, activities are helps to the body of Christ. People that help the body of Christ. Maybe don't have a fivefold office or a leadership role, but they're involved in mercy or missions or music or hospitality or intercession or handicraft, or the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And you get more of this in Carpenter 301. But believe me, if you're 101, I know a ton of now are in 201. I think 301 is next semester. Please don't stop, because it's going to talk all about how God has gifted you, the gifts he's given you, the personality he's given you, and what you can do for the kingdom of God. Then it goes on to say this. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. The word manifestation. The manifestations of the Spirit. Manifestations means expression, a bestowment. It means to render apparent. Manifestations, I think, is God showing up. The Spirit moving and doing what only the Spirit can move and do. The Spirit falling. This idea, this manifestations of the Spirit is where the whole idea of worship is to create this thin place between heaven and earth, where all of a sudden it seems like it's so close that the things of the Spirit are so easily accessible to us here on earth. That we're hearing the things of the Spirit. The Spirit of God shows up. That he does stuff through the word of knowledge or prophecy or all of the other gifts, that the Holy Spirit is all of a sudden, he's taking over the service. He's taking it over. That all of a sudden when we're speaking, you're not just hearing me, you're hearing the Holy Spirit as He's saying something to you. Or as we're worshiping, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and talks about an issue in your life, and He encourages you that you can step out of it, you can walk out of it, you can move forward. You see, the Holy Spirit shows up. The Holy Spirit shows up. The Holy Spirit shows up. We want God to show up. You see, here at Living Faith Fellowship, we ask, believe, and expect God to move in our church service, to manifest His presence. And He does that by the Holy Spirit. If God is not invited to our service, then we are nothing more than some civic club. I'm not interested in being a civic club. I don't want to be a bunch of do-good people. And we need do-good people. I want people who are endowed by their Creator. I want people who are filled by the Spirit from their Creator, who are walking with a changed, transformed, and dynamic life that is supernatural, flowing in miracles and signs and wonders. And all of a sudden we realize, wow, this walk called Christianity is one of the greatest things that has ever happened to me. And it changes my life. I don't want to be a club. I want more than that. I want to see the moving of the Holy Spirit. I want to see the moving of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, You're amazing. You create us and we have a great walk, the garden, and all of a sudden we fall, sin enters the world. And now we've got this problem, sin. And the flesh just eats it up. But what did You do? You brought a Savior into the world to forgive us our sins. But that flesh is still there until we enter this next phase in heaven. But what did You do? You gave us the Holy Spirit. You gave us this advantage. You left here, You went to the Father, and You sent the Holy Spirit. You said, My Spirit will be with you 24/7. I'll speak to you. I'll talk to you. I'll tell you, yes, no, don't go there. Don't do that. I'll speak. I'll encourage. And not only that, I'll give you gifts. I'll give you power. I'll enable you. I'll give you resources that come from heaven. I'll partner with you in your walk. And I'll change it to be something that you get done with it and don't have regrets, but you have an expectation of what lies ahead. This next life. I'll love you and hold you and encourage you and empower you by the Spirit. Lord, You've given that to us. We're so thankful. Help us, Lord, to not be ignorant, to not ignore what Your Word says about the enablements You give us to walk successfully, powerfully, supernaturally in a world that's anything but. Help us, Lord, to stand strong, to walk spiritual, to have those on the outside that don't know You look and go, wow, how do You get that? To so walk in the fullness of Your Spirit that it just drips off to other people and they go, I want that. I want that. And that we can see a world be transformed by the Spirit You gave us. Help us, Lord. I also realize we have this flesh thing. At times I'm humbled and humiliated by it. But Lord, I'm thankful that You don't give up on us. You walk with us. And You give us a power to triumph over it. So thank You, Lord. Help us. Let us not walk out of here condemned, Lord, by what the flesh is doing. But help us, Lord, in these next couple of weeks to walk out of here empowered. Convicted, maybe. Willing to change. Willing to walk a different way. But only because the Holy Spirit, the power of God, gives us the enablement to do so. Help us this week, Lord, to live with a little more expectation of your presence, of your spirit, of your voice leading us in the spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you tons.